This is Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy, and I'm here today with Ed Ciaretta, and we're going to discuss his family roots. So welcome, Ed. Thanks for being here.
I'm glad to be here.
So you're a little bit south of me, yes?
Yeah, we're all the way at the end, all the way to the end. New Jersey can't go any further.
No, it's great down there. Well, we haven't been down there in a couple of years, I guess, you know, with all this stuff going on, but it's very, very pretty down there. Especially, you know, Cape May, when you go through the town, it's like going back in time.
It is. It's a very pretty town. It's changed a lot from when I was a kid, which, like most places, I'm sure. But
yeah, you know, same place. I grew up in College Point in Queens, and it's not the same. You know, it used to be its own, although it was part of New York, it was its own neighborhood, you know, and it's not right. That way anymore. So let's start with talking about, you know, why and when you got started looking back at your ancestors.
Well, really, when I was younger, my grandfather and my grandmother never really spoke of Italy. I mean, never. They just didn't. But my grandmother was very big, from what I'm told. She passed away when I was very young. But from what I'm told, she was very big on becoming American. She didn't want to be discriminated against. She actually changed the name or spelling. That's the spelling you see now is the American spelling. The original Italian spelling was S-C-I-A-R-R-E-T-T-A. But there just wasn't a lot of talk about the Italian heritage, and never even discussed where they were from or anything even closely related to that. So as I got older, like we all do, I'm sure, I got kind of interested in it, and I wanted to kind of dig up what we were, you know, where our family came from and what was involved. So I started doing some research, and I truly wasn't very good at it. I worked at it a little bit and spent a lot of time on the computer and found some information, but not a lot. But my son, who is very involved in technology, he got an interest in it as well and did a lot of research, and we were able to go back pretty far. And we found that I knew my grandfather came from Abruzzo area, but I didn't know exactly where. I eventually found out that he had lived in a town called Santa Sonia del Sangro. And that's in just a very small village, which I have been able to visit, by the way. I never knew where he was born. And in the process of doing all this, we did a lot of research, and I was involved with my son. I mean, again, I have to give him most of the credit. He found most of the information. But in the process of doing all this, we found a quite a bit of information. And in that process, my son said to me, "Do you know we can get Italian citizenship?" And I said, "No, I didn't realize that." Well, my grandfather was in the process of becoming an American citizen when he died, but he never became an American citizen, which opened the door for us to become Italian citizens. So we joked about it at first, honestly. We, you know, oh, we should reward ourselves for all this work and all this research and become Italian citizens. And then my son came to me one day and he said, "You know, Dad," he said, "if we become Italian citizens," he said, "all my daughters can become Italian citizens." Right. Yeah, he was interested in becoming an Italian citizen because if he did, then his daughters could become, and would make it quite easy for them to travel in Europe or spend time in Italy or go there and work. And a funny story is it actually worked to the opposite. My granddaughter was going to go over and work with a family in Italy, and the guy wanted to pay her under the table, and because she was an Italian citizen, it really created some problems. So it actually didn't help us. It hurt us in the long run, but we were all happy to get it. My son, that's another funny story, really.
So let me ask you a question. So how long ago did you get the citizenship?
I'm going to say, what's this? This is 21, probably around 2010 or 11, maybe.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And it turned out my brother had taken an Italian course, a language course in a temple when he was going to Temple University. And while he was there, he took this course, and he became very friendly with the guy that, that taught the course. And maybe I shouldn't say this. He became very friendly with the guy that taught the course. And when we were applying for our Italian citizenship, the guy's wife, his ex-wife, and his ex-sister-in-law, both worked in the Italian consulate. And what should take an awful long time took us a week. We got her Italian citizenship. But, you know, a few connections. Like every place in the world, it doesn't hurt. But
I thought about it for a while. I mean, I should have done it a long time ago, but I just started the process, and you know, luckily, once somebody I interviewed, who's an attorney, is going to help me do it quicker. And I didn't know until not that long ago that if you go there for 45 days, you could do it much quicker. So I do, once the paperwork's done. I'm going to, if my wife allows me, I'll go there, because same thing, it's, for me, it's one thing, but I'd like to have it for the kids.
Right.
But interesting, you mentioned your grandfather. My grandfather actually did become a naturalized citizen, but after my father was born. So we're still okay. So anybody listening, you know, even if your grandfather was naturalized, if your parent was born before he was naturalized, you're still good.
Right. Well, the biggest problem we found, I have a friend right now that's doing it, and he's been over a year. It's been a long time. But anyhow, the biggest problem we had was getting everything translated into Italian.
Yeah.
We were able to do that through some of my, my son and I have taught ourselves, we've taught ourselves some Italian, but I'm not as good at it. I'm being older. It was a little more difficult for me. And when I do use it, I have to, if I go back to Italy, I've been over there a few times, and when I go back, I have to refresh myself. I don't use it enough to really.
Yeah. Yeah. I know very little, but I've been trying to teach myself too. So now you said you've been back to the town. What was it like when you went back?
It was very small. It's the San Asagno is a very small town. It probably has, I don't know, maybe 600 people, if it's got that many, to be honest with you. And when it's funny, when we went there, it was my son and my brother and I, and we pulled into the village very early in the morning. We had a lot of trouble finding it. It's in the, not in the mountains, but in the foothills, and just a little small place. And we pulled into a parking lot, and the town has basically one street. And then behind some buildings, it has a big parking lot. I wouldn't even call it a street. But we pull into this parking lot, and it's probably quarter of eight in the morning. And as we're getting out of the car, and it being such a small place, up comes a policeman. And he asks us if he can help us. And I'm sure, I mean, because we stood out like a sore thumb, I'm so sure. But We told him why we were there, and he went and got the mayor out of his house, and we went into this little city hall, and they went through the records. Now, we could find Shiretta's, but we couldn't find anything about my grandfather, especially his birth records. We couldn't find anything there. And that was before I actually knew he was actually born in a town called Orsania, which is probably maybe 15 miles away. But anyhow, they did everything they could, and they didn't really find any real records, birth records. That's what we were looking for. But everyone was very nice, and we had a connection in town. And this is kind of a funny story too. My son became very friendly with a kid, and his last name was Castellano. And his father, turned out, was from the very same village that my grandfather was from. Now, he was like two generations back. He was maybe 10 years older than me. But he always told us he had a teacher named Shiretta. But he didn't know my grandfather, obviously, because my grandfather left long before he was living there. So anyhow, we knew all this. So we were going to meet this Andy Castellano, we were going to meet his cousin. But before we did, we walked out to the cemetery, which was probably like a mile outside of the town. And it was, by the way, it was very beautiful. They really took care of that cemetery for a small place. But we went out to the cemetery, and while we're out there, we're wandering around looking for Shirettas, and we found some. But we find a grave that's kind of marked out. You know how they do with a with like a curbing, and there's two graves inside the curbing, and one says Shiretta, and one says Castellano. And I honestly can't remember which one was male and which one was a female. But you might know this already, but the Italian women use their maiden name and everything legal. So we're looking at these two tombstones, and we're saying, well, they might have been married. You know, I mean, we didn't know. It was back like in the 1800s, but like they might have been married. So we kind of thought that was kind of funny. Well, when we many years later, I had my DNA done, and not on purpose, but this Nick Castellano, he had his done, and it turns out we're like six cousins. So somewhere back in there, they were related. Well, back to the story, we went and we visited with his cousin that lived in San Antonio, and he spoke no English, and we spoke very little Italian, but we had a great time. I mean, they couldn't have welcomed us more, and he wanted us to stay and drink wine with him, but we didn't want to do that because we had to drive a long way to get back to where we were. I wish I could have spent more time there. I really do. But it was a pretty neat experience.
No, I'm sure. And, you know, to your point earlier, you know, so many of the Italians, you know, immigrants didn't talk about the past. And, you know, everybody I talk to, you know, says the same thing. When they get to the town, they're just welcomed with open arms. People go out of their way. They try and find family. And, you know, you're not the first one who, you know, they got the mayor out of bed or you know, they got, you know, somebody's walking down the street and says, who are you? And they said, oh, this is, I'm so-and-so. And they said, oh, I know your family. You know, it's amazing that the connections that are made. So did you, what kind of, you said you got pretty far back. Did you find anything really, really interesting when you're doing these record searches?
No, I mean, nothing that would be of major significance. I did find, you know, like my grandfather and great grandparents, I found their names. I mean, I went back to a DiRico who there's some kind of organization. I forget what they call it up in Boston. It's evidently a lot of people from Mersania settled in Boston. And there's an organization up there, and the president, his last name is DiRico, and I contacted him, but he didn't really respond to me. I mean, he didn't get back to me with much information. But I got that, and then Amoroso, which I think maybe I should have a lot of money because I don't know if you're familiar with the Philadelphia area, but Amoroso, they have a big bread company.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I would I don't know whether there's any connection there or not, but no, I didn't find anything major along those lines, like anybody important, or I didn't get back far enough to find anything like that. But I did find out where my grandfather, I think I sent you some pictures of the ship that I can't even say it. It might have been like a German ship that he came over on. And I found the dates that he came. When I went to Ellis Island, I couldn't find anything up there. And I looked around for a long time. I don't know. It seemed that I stumbled on things. I would look and look and look and look and not find anything. And then all of a sudden, just like the spelling of my last name, this is crazy. I knew the name had been changed, but I tried to find the correct spelling. And I came across eight or nine different spellings. And I came to the conclusion finally that a lot of the spellings were just people, the handwriting people misinterpreted an A for an O or an E for an I or something along those lines. But I finally came across the right spelling, and I found out that it was Sciarretta. Well, the crazy thing is, I spent maybe a year trying to find the correct spelling, And one day I'm going through a lot of records that I have, and on my father's birth certificate is the correct spelling.
Mm.
My grandmother didn't change the name. My father had, he was one of seven children, and he was the second oldest, and his oldest sister and his birth certificate both had the correct spelling on it, and the rest of them had the Americanized spelling. But I, after all that time I spent looking for it, I came across it. It was right there in front of me, but I never saw it. So that was kind of crazy. But a lot of stuff that when I was doing research happened like that. Like I looked for a long time for things and couldn't find them, and then they'd just pop up. And some of them were, I should have seen early, but I didn't.
Yeah, no, you know, I tell people that all the time. I said, you know, you'd be amazed how things just pop up. And I also, you know, because you do get frustrated for a while. I mean, I've done it several times. You have to walk away. But I tell people, you know, take a break for a while. Because when you come back, you're going to find something, you know. And like to your point, it may have been there in front of you the whole time, you know.
Right.
But you didn't catch it. And then you come back. And I also believe that there's some kind of, you know, other, whether you want to say divine force or spiritual force that guides this stuff along too, you know, because there's too many coincidences sometime, you know. It just can't be just be a coincidence. So now do you know why they came and where they first settled?
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com.
Well, I think the reason they came was like most people. Things were not going well economically. It was very poor, the area, there was nothing there. My grandfather was a tailor. I'm not sure where he learned that trade, but he came here. He was only like 22 years old when he came here. And he came with his cousin who was a tailor. So I can only surmise that both of them thought if they came to the US, they'd make a ton of money. But he originally came, he came through Ellis Island, and I don't know if he went right to Philadelphia or not, but that's where he lived for a short while. And then they came down to Cape May because, to my understanding, and my aunt told me this, I'm assuming it's correct, during World War I, there was a naval base in Cape May, and he came down here to make uniforms for the military.
Mm.
And honestly, it ended up causing him and my grandmother to separate, because my grandmother insisted, and she was kind of right, that at the time in Cape May, there wasn't much chance for advancement or for good jobs or anything like that. And she insisted she wanted to go back to Philly, and he wanted to stay in Cape May. And they originally had a little grocery store in town. And I assume it didn't do real well. And then my grandmother at some point went back to Philadelphia, and he stayed down, and he had a little tailor shop in Cape May. And there was a gentleman that had a clothing store on the main street, Washington Street in Cape May. And he, my grandfather had a tailor shop right behind him. You actually had to go down a little alley to get to it. And if you ever come to Cape May, it's called Finn's now, but it was the Tarpon Bar at the time, and the Ugly Mug. There's an alley that goes back there. Things have changed a lot. The shop's not back there anymore. But his shop was back there, and he could actually walk out the back door of the clothing store right into the tailor shop. So he did a lot of the alterations. In those days, as you know, when you bought pants and stuff like that, you had them altered. You had them cut to the proper length and tailored. And so he did all that work, and he did work for people in town. And he loved it down here, so... My grandmother went back to Philly, and most of my aunts and uncles end up living in Philadelphia. My father's the only one who stayed down here.
Oh, wow. That's something. That's unusual for that time for a family to split up like that, I guess. It must have been very, very tough, you know. And I think when we talked, I had no idea that I think you said there wasn't a large contingent of Italians in Cape May, but there was a significant amount, I think, right?
Well, I just made a list, and I, if you don't mind, I'll mention them, but
because
I don't want anyone to feel slighted. But I can only remember 11 families. Now, there may have been two or three more that I don't remember, but there were the Trolley families who lived across the street from me, and that was a story in itself. He, we called him Pep. His name was Joe Trolley, but we called him Pep. And he had a big Italian garden across the street, and he saved everything. In fact, after he died, they found bombs buried in his yard.
Get out.
World War II and was going to scrap them, I guess. But anyhow, he had a bocce court across the street. And as a kid, I used to, and that's, there's some of the memories that are etched in my mind. I can remember sitting on my steps and all the old Italians in the neighborhood, 11 or 12 guys that would get together would come there to play bocce almost every Sunday. And sometimes in the evenings in the summertime when it was light out a little longer. But that was he was a pretty interesting guy in himself. But the families there, I listed the Trolleys, the Piagentines, Paes, the Canonis, the Michalkis, Catarsio, Florentine, Francesconi, Mascello, Velli, and Marinari. And they're all the families I can remember. So, and it was the Italian neighborhood, I just kind of quickly figured out, was maybe six small blocks of Cape May. And it was pretty much a mix of Italians and Afro-Americans. It was maybe 50-50 or 60-50 or 60-40 or, you know, something along those lines. But, you know, we were all mingled together at the time.
Yeah, and I mean, of all places, although, you know, I have found out recently, you know, that there were Italian cowboys in Colorado in the 1800s and things like that. But I never expected, you know, to hear that, you know, that there are Italian immigrants in Cape May. It's not some place that you would associate with it. Now, do you know if they were all from the same area in Italy or not?
There was a family, the Florentines, that came over, and I think there were seven girls, if I'm correct. They ended up all obviously marrying different people, but they all came from, right outside of Rome, and I know the name of the town. I can't think of it. It may come to me, but yeah, most of the people came from that area, just outside of Rome. My grandfather was, I don't want to say an outcast, but he was one of the few that came from a different area. Yeah, I think they all wound up in Cape May because of one family, pretty much. I don't know the men, you know, the men that all married the women. I don't know whether I'm not sure the history there. I don't know whether they met in Cape May or they met, you know, before they came over. Or I don't know the history behind that. But yeah, they were pretty much all related.
Yeah, well, I guess that makes sense. I guess one person got there and found the job and then brought some of the other people over or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
So just to talk a little bit about Philadelphia. Now, I guess you knew that your aunts and uncles were there. What did your grandmother do there when she got there by herself? Do you know?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. My grandmother died when I was like a year old. Yeah, I didn't. Again, it sounds terrible. I don't want to say it annoys me. I wished a lot of this stuff, like probably a lot, most of us do. I wished that they hadn't changed the name. If I'd have been younger and found out the name, the proper spelling, I probably would have changed it back. I'm sorry that we lost the language. I had an opportunity to learn Italian and didn't. But they never talked about any of that stuff. They never discussed. And the other thing is, my grandmother was actually married before she married my grandfather. She married a guy, Passarelli, I think was his last name. And he died like a year into their marriage. I don't know whether it was an accident or how he died. And then she ended up meeting my grandfather and they got married. And obviously with seven kids, they must have lived together for quite a while. But I do know that my grandmother wanted to go back to Philly. And all my aunts and uncles stayed in Philly, and some of them did very well. I mean, they the opportunities in Philadelphia at the time were much better than they were at Cape May, for sure. My father, well, we were low middle income, probably for the most part. We struggled, and my father ended up, he was a refrigeration mechanic and worked at what is now Atlantic City Airport, but at the time it was a naval base, and he worked for the government. But my aunts and uncles all ended up pretty much having their own businesses and stuff. Had an aunt that had a bar in Philadelphia, and another uncle that sold furniture, and they all did okay, much better in Philadelphia economically than they would have done in Cape May, for sure. My grandmother was right on that.
Your mom, was she Italian, or is she from America?
No, my mother was not Italian, but that's a funny story too. My mother was Catholic, believe it or not. My father was not. The story that I get is that my grandfather had an argument with a priest and he became Episcopalian. And I don't know if that's true or even when it happened, but that's what I had always heard. But my mother was probably about 18 when they got married, when my mother and father got married. And my grandmother, they lived with my grandmother, and my grandmother taught her, I mean, for the early part of their marriage, but she taught her how to cook and all that stuff. And everyone thought my mother was Italian, and everyone assumed my father was Catholic. But neither one was true. And my mother kind of looked a little Italian, I guess. I don't know. I'm told, and I'm on half Italian, but I'm told all the time I don't look Italian. But then that was one of the notes when I went to Italy, when I kept a little book the first time I ever went. And one of my first notes were Italians don't look Italian. Because there's a lot of blondes and blue eyes, and the stereotype Italian is not always what it really is.
No, that's true. So now, have you researched any of her family? Have you gone back to her roots at all?
I have had a lot of trouble, and you know what? I keep every once in a while saying I'd say to myself I'm going to research her more. I know she had some brothers and sisters where my grandfather, he was the only child, and his mother died at very young. I think that might have been one of the reasons he came to the U.S. But I cannot find an awful lot about my grandmother. And I have to admit that I just got wore out after a while looking things up. And by the time I got to my grandmother, I didn't get very far. I do know her maiden name was Gian Francesco. And again, she was married to a Passarelli, but and she came from Campobasso, which is in Molise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's as much as I know about her. I really don't. I know she came over around 12 years old. I don't know how she got here, but she was, quote unquote, much more Americanized than my grandfather. And she was the big pusher to, I guess, evade discrimination and become an American and change the name and all that stuff. I don't, know. I should spend more time finding more out about her.
I know what you're saying about, the changing of the names and some of that kind of stuff. My family, nobody changed any names. And I guess the spellings all came out maybe because they, Sorrentino and Nicoletti, that's, hard to confuse with something else. You could kind of, right. Even an American can sound it out. Although right. I get called Sorrentino, Sorrento, Sorrento.
Yeah.
All kinds of different names, and I think my name is pretty easy to sound out, but it's funny. And I didn't think, when I first saw your name Shiretta, I was thinking to myself, that H isn't right.
Yeah, that's
it, right. Sounds Italian, right. But that H isn't right.
I went to, I was on a cruise ship one time. This has been a lot of years ago. I don't remember exactly when. And it was before I had done a lot of research, but I knew, I didn't honestly, maybe I did know the right spelling at that time. But I had a, that was in the days when they had wine stewards on the cruise ships. And the wine steward got my card. I ordered a bottle of wine at the table, and he took my card and he looked at it and he said, no. And I'm like, what do you mean, no? And he goes, no, he said, this isn't right. And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, there's no S-H, there's no S-H. So I told him, then I said, yeah, it's S-C-I-A. And he, oh, and then it made sense to him, but he noticed it right away. It jumped out at him.
That's
from what
that's,
I understand, there's no S-H together in the Italian language. There's an H, but there's no S-H together.
Yeah, there's no S-H, yeah. And you know, again, you know, you know, the CH sound, you know, is foreign to Americans. I mean, we know it because, and the GL sound, you know, it's just so foreign to Americans.
Yeah.
My aunt was Julia, but she spelled it with a J in America.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Obviously in Italian, it would be, you know, G-I-U, not right. J-U-I, right? So, you know, interesting when you come down to those kinds of things, you know.
Hired a guy to take us, I think we were going down to Cinque Terre, and he was driving a car, and I said something to him in Italian, and he turned to me and said, no. And he literally was driving a car at like 70 miles an hour. And he's turned looking at me with his hands going, he's giving me all the mouth. And it was kind of comical. So, you know, when you were talking about, I just would want to mention that you said every time, you know, when you've been to Italy or dealt with Italian families or talked to people, I'm not sure which it was, but that how well they were treated. And one time when we were in Rome, I was over there with my son and brother. I mean, my son and his family, his daughters and his wife. And my wife and I were going to be there for 5 weeks, and he was going to be there for 2 weeks. So we rented a place in Rome off of this woman. Actually, my son made the arrangements. And at the end of my trip, we had everything planned out. But at the end of my trip, I had 2 days left, and I couldn't make up my mind. I was going to fly out of Rome again to leave to come home. And I couldn't make up my mind whether I should come back to Rome for 2 days or try to squeeze something else in. And before I left, we talked it over, my wife and I, and we went back and forth. But in the end, we decided to come back to Rome and just relax for 2 days and then get our flight. Well, we at that point, we needed to rent a place for 2 days in Rome. So my son says, I'll contact this woman that we rented off of. So he contacts her and asks her if she has a place for two of us for two nights. And she comes back and says, no, I only have a place for one night, one place and another place for one night if they wanted to move. And we said, no, we don't want to do that. So then she said, you know what? I have to go visit my son in England. She said, so you can stay in my place.
Hmm.
So we said, I wrote her back and I said to her, yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate your offer. And what would I owe you? You know, how much would you want? And she said, oh, no, nothing. She said, you're my guest and my waiting staff will take care of you. Well,
wow.
Now my eyes kind of open, like my waiting staff will take care of me. She gave us her house. I've never, to this day, I've never met the woman, never met her. And she gave us her house. It didn't charge us a penny. And we lived there for 2 days and she wanted us. She wanted the people that working for her to feed us every meal. Of course, we didn't want to do that. We wanted to go out and eat different places. But yeah, it was amazing. I've never met her to this day. And she gave me her house to stay in.
Wow,
and I have 100 stories like that, but that was probably one of the most amazing that she gave me her house to stay in. And
That's truly incredible. Yeah. And you know, she didn't know you from anything, just knew that you rented the place from her.
She had no idea. The other funny story with it is I didn't know what to get her. I found out she was a millionaire. They owned all kinds of stuff. But So I thought, what am I going to give this woman as a gift? You know, I got to give her something. So I take over a few small carved houses, Victorian houses of Cape May. I don't know if you've ever seen them. Mm-hmm. You've been down here. And then I went and I bought this really nice hardback book that was just pictures, because I know she didn't speak English very well. And I bought this book and it had all pictures of Victorian homes. So when I was leaving her house, I wrote her a note in my very best Italian, which is not very good. But I said, thank you very much. And if you ever come to Cape May or ever come to the U.S., please let me know. And you're welcome to stay at my house. Well, she writes me back and says, thank you very much. And your house is beautiful. Well, I don't know if you know Cape May, but there's an absolute beautiful mansion called the Mainstay down here. And it's huge. And she must have, for some reason, thought that was my house. And she said, your house is very beautiful. And I said, well, I have a nice house, but it's not quite the Mainstay. But so that got lost in translation. But it was pretty funny.
That's too funny. That is funny. It is funny. Well, listen, thanks again, and have a great day. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Well, I enjoy it. Thank you very much. And I'm glad for the opportunity to talk about it, because people, especially about our trips to Italy, I start talking about it and people, I wear them out. But I enjoy talking about it. So, but again, thanks for having me, Bob. I appreciate it very much.